This week, we're talking about the Mustang's 60th anniversary, Joe's weekend at the IndyCar Long Beach Grand Prix, and F1's trip to Shanghai.
Lance Stroll, you're a wiener.
We'll also be covering all of the recent troubles at Tesla, but first, it's not the Alfa Romeo Milano, it's the Junior, legally. Welcome to the Big Three. Big announcement, Saturday, May 25th. Fifth in Los Angeles, we are going to do a live recording of Pass Gas at the Dynasty Typewriter, like I said, in Los Angeles. It's at 4 p.m., which makes it the perfect time to hang out with your dad or your uncle, a new date, casually.
That would be interesting.
A friend, not with your uncle, not a date.
No,
with
I'm
your
saying
uncle.
Like no. Bringing a first date to our live show. That's a move.
What if it's something they talked about?
But also, they liking. Have to go and sit quiet next to each other for an
okay,
hour.
Okay, fine. I guess if you're going on a date, don't come to the show.
Bring a date.
It's at 4 p.m., so it's a really opportune time to do a friend and or date and or family activity. Because when we're done, it's going to be perfect time for dinner. And it's downtown, so there's tons of fun restaurants around there.
And all that laughing is going to make you so hungry.
Yeah. We're going to do some bits. Might be some audience participation. Might we merch drop. Yeah. We're going to do podcast merch there. It's going to be a really fun time. Joe and I have spent a lot of time doing live performing and comedy when we were younger. Nolan has done stand up quite a bit since he's worked for Donut. And
three times.
And to be able to return to live stage is really going to be a treat for us.
So we're hungry for you to be there.
May 25th. Dynasty Typewriter, Los Angeles, exclusive merch, all of us, surprise opener that's probably Jeremiah.
And tickets are going fast, so scoop them up now before there's none left.
DynastyTypewriter.com. Check it out.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, hi. Welcome to the Big Three, the only automotive podcast you ever have to listen to, except for our other one.
That's also true.
I am James Humphrey, as most of the time, joined by my co-hosts, confidants, besties, Nolan, Jay Sykes.
Hi.
And Joe, the Schweb Weber.
Let's get Schwebby with it.
Joe Schweppes Weber.
Yeah. Oh, pour me a cup of that.
I think Schweppes just got like in trouble for being full sugar. They're saying their sugar freeze was sugar free, but now they're full sugar.
That seems irresponsible with like diabetics.
Yeah.
But I do like a good Schweppes on ice.
I love a icy Schweppes.
Yeah.
Schweppes, guess what? We forgive you. You guys are going to have a lot of tasty PR coming up. How about sponsoring the number one automotive podcast in the world?
Yeah.
Just something to think about while you're thinking about everything
else. Yeah, Liquid Death will not respond to our emails, please. Yeah. We would love to be a Schweppes family.
Yeah, we'll be a Schweppes family.
I'll just drink a bunch of ginger ale on the show. I'll do it for free.
It didn't end well last time you did that.
No matter who sponsors us, you will be doing it for free.
I actually am kind of over soda. I feel like I've had a little bit too much of it in the past month. And it's just like really syrupy and sweet.
Yeah, I'm not big on the sweet syrup.
I had a nice little Spindrift yesterday.
Ooh, I drank a Spindrift yesterday. What flavor?
Not just lemon.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to have
a
citrusy one.
Like a Sprite, but not.
I had a...
this is the most entertaining raspberry podcast we've ever been right now.
Oh, shut up. I had a raspberry lime Spindrift.
I don't like those ones.
Raspberry lime?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I had to switch from Spindrift to Waterloo because Spindrift was too sugary for me.
I was going to say, I've been knocking back them Waterloos.
Yeah, Waterloo.
There's a new flavor.
Really?
Yeah, tropical fruit.
Oh, I haven't tried that one.
It tastes like Tahitian treat.
Yeah, it does.
Tastes like what?
It tastes like Hawaiian punch.
Tahitian treat is a lightly carbonated Hawaiian punch.
Tahitian treat
is the best beverage ever made through the gods. But you can't drink it because it'll kill you. Bright red and full of corn syrup, I'm sure. So scratch that, Schweppes. You're out.
Yeah.
Waterloo, hit us up. You can be the official spicy bev of the number one automotive podcast on the planet.
And it's Nolan's favorite battle, too.
Waterloo?
It's one of them.
Is it? It's up there.
Waterloo, Battle of the Bulge. Those are the only ones that come to my head right now. But that's all I got.
2 weeks ago, Alfa Romeo unveiled the Milano, the company's first fully electric vehicle. The car received a pretty good reception from critics, but less than a week later, Alfa Romeo had to rename the car.
Yeah, there's a cookie with that name already.
Milano cookies. Yeah, Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm would like us, like a word with you.
Yeah, Pepperidge Farm remembers. The trademark. Very litigious cookie company. Notoriously.
Get your ass.
Don't name.
Not cross Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah.
They sued the actor that played Chunk in Goonies because it's too close to their chocolate chunk cookie.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't name the character. Yeah, he's like,
I'm a lawyer now. What are you talking
about?
He is
a lawyer now.
Is he really?
I think so.
I know that
I'm full of half truths to misinformation.
I think
today.
You're thinking of the lightsaber guy from early internet.
Oh yeah,
that guy's a lawyer.
I think he's a lawyer.
He had to become a lawyer
because he like hated that his video went viral.
Yeah. He was like too big of a nerd to get yoked to like defend himself.
Yeah,
so he became a lawyer.
Yeah,
we just got confirmation from Christina that Chunk is a lawyer.
Chunk is a lawyer.
Dude,
hell yeah!
I want Chunk to be my lawyer. Why did they have to rename the car? Because thanks to a consumer protection law from 2003, the year that LeBron James went into the NBA. Any product from an Italian company with an Italian sounding name must be made in Italy. And since the Milano is made in Poland, the company changed the car's name to the Alfa Romeo Junior. That's an awesome law.
I like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had anything to do with Brandy Melville.
What?
In 2003?
Maybe. I don't know. Brandy Melville's Italian.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because she is not had something person. With Brandy.
Brandy Melville's not a person. Oh. There's a documentary about it that's mid. Called Brandy Hellville. I think they just thought of the name and then they were like, yeah, we gotta find something.
I do that with jokes sometime where it's like I think of puns and then I like keep it in the back of my head.
Oh, for sure.
And then if it ever pops up, I'm like ready to go with
for
it.
For sure. Sometimes when I get, if I'm riding with semi strangers in a car, I'll just start reading signs to start conversations.
Whoa, no U-turn. What do you think about that?
Someone like, did something stupid, and that's why I made that sign.
I get in my head, I'll read billboards. I'll be like, come on, need a joke.
Yeah.
Come on.
I saw a good billboard the other day, the FU bully one.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a lawyer one, but their number is 1-800-FU-BULLY.
Yeah.
It's like... So funny. Dude, to me.
Chunk is that lawyer.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So this law exists to not give misleading indications of geographical origin of products. The best example is the European Union's PDO laws or protection designation of origin, like how champagne has to be made in Champagne, France.
Yeah.
So that's an actual law. It's not just annoying people.
No.
It's saying real. Like, actually, it's got a, that's just sparkling wine.
Yeah.
Sparkling wine.
I think America should have that with like bourbon.
I think they do.
They do?
They should. Good. If they don't. Kentucky, hit me up. Me and Chuck.
I think
will help
James
you out.
Has had a pretty good record of like thinking things are true today, and I'm pretty sure that's true. Kentucky
bourbon. So that's Kentucky. Like okay. Obvious.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bourbon County is where it's from.
Bourbon.
Yeah. So I was gonna make a car. I was gonna name it the Skigligliano.
Skigligliano.
Yeah, but it's wrong. Like, how far does this?
Well, it has to be made in Italy if it's an Italian company.
Italian sounding.
Yeah.
Name. Well,
it's not just like anywhere in the world, though.
So does that mean that the Kia Sorento is gonna be on the chopping block?
Any product from an Italian company, with an Italian sounding name.
Okay, got it.
So it's
got
to be an Italian company. Okay. Alfa Romeo is Italian. It's not like Olive Garden is going to get hit with something.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Kia is good.
Kia
is good.
Kia
Sorento, fine.
Even though they spell Sorento different.
Than what? The cheese?
I think they spell it with two R's.
That's Sargento.
Sargento.
That's from Wisconsin. Sargento.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
But Sorento, Kia Sorento is spelled with two R's. And Kia Sorrento, or Sorrento, Italy, is spelled with one R.
Oh, so maybe that's a way to get around it.
Maybe, yeah.
But is it just an Italian name, or is it an Italian sounding name?
Italian sounding name from an Italian company.
Got it.
But since it's manufactured in Poland, but it is Alfa Romeo.
But who's to say what's Italian sounding?
Volcano. You just made up an Italian sounding word.
I know, but I don't think that should be hold up in court.
How does that work?
Yeah. Volcano is an Italian word. Volcano.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So can you not call some? Could they not name it Volcano?
Well, they don't make volcanoes.
I know, but they could make a car that's hot.
I think the problem was is that the car was being manufactured in Poland.
So if it was against the Polish.
So if Ferrari came out with a car called the Spaghetti.
Yeah.
But they made it in England.
Poland or England. Yeah.
That would be illegal. Yeah. They couldn't call it Ferrari Spaghetti.
They already have the Scaglietti.
Yeah.
But that's made in Italy.
In Italy.
So yeah, it's fine. Okay.
If Alfa just had to build the Milano in Italy, and it would have been fine. But it's being built in Poland.
It's like cultural protection.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like it's a testament to how much weight Italian culture carries.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, that sounds Italian. It's from an Italian company. Oh, this means something
sure.
to me.
And if it's like the build quality isn't good or something, then they're like, oh, these Italians can't build shit.
Well, I don't think it's build quality that people assume. I think it's romance.
Romance, yeah.
Yeah. It's like culture. Oh, that's a romantic electric car.
It's maintaining culture. Yeah. And it's also, I think it is a sign of quality as well. To be like, we don't want any inferior product with Italian sounding
name. I understand
it.
It's funny.
It's funny, and I want to know how they hold it up. Anyway, the name Junior might seem a little bit out of left field. Unless you're an Alfa Romeo fan, it actually has some history with the brand going back to the GT1300 Junior in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
The car will likely be available in some U.S. states with high EV adoption, including California.
That's where we are.
Tell you what I don't want. An Alfa Romeo electric car.
Yeah, I don't know. Those
are two boxes I would check in. No thanks.
Yeah.
It is tiny, too.
Is it little? Yeah.
That's good. Well, it's called the Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not initially. Double meeting. Yeah.
Small.
I think Junior is a cool name for a car.
Really?
Yeah, I always thought like the old ones, like Alfa Romeo Junior. I was like, damn, that's a sick. Alfa Romeo Giulia. Alfa Romeo is good at naming cars.
Maybe I just watched too much TV growing up, but I immediately think of like Nick Jr. or like Disney Jr.
Yeah,
you're
the only
little baby, like little Tykes car or something, Power Wheels or something.
Give me a car for a man.
Yeah.
I always think of when like a big guy is called like Junior or Tiny.
Yeah.
I was half expecting this car to be like huge.
Big.
Yeah.
Like an ironic nickname.
Yeah.
I always think of
Pipsqueak over there and it's like a 400 pound guy.
I always think of Sean Connery in Indiana Jones. Junior. Harrison Ford. Junior.
That's the best one. Last Crusade, in my opinion.
I mean, they learned their lessons from the extremely racist Temple of Doom.
Mm.
If you're an Italian company and you don't plan on making it in Italy, save your breath and don't call it an Italian name.
Yeah, call it like the Zipper or something like
Zipper,
that.
Zipper, I think, is an Italian word. I don't know. I'm all about half-truths and misinformation this week. This past weekend, we were invited to join the Arrow McLaren IndyCar team for the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Yeah. And Joe, you went.
You went.
Audrey went.
Christina went.
I saw you guys all wearing race suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Christina jumped on the opportunity to, literally jumped on it because... Well, there's a lot of people there that wanted to do it.
And you were like, no, yeah, I'm nope, mildly famous.
I was contacting the Arrow McLaren team. I was like, I'm going to grab this.
Yeah, walk us through your weekend there.
So started on Thursday when I met the team at the Queen Mary.
Cool.
Alex Rossi gave me.
Starting out strong.
I know, yeah.
Where do you want to meet the race car team? How about the haunted ship?
We're trying to film a take and they blew their horn. mm-hmm. and it was so it was the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Whoa. Yeah.
Nice. And it was right there, and everyone was like,
loud.
"All right,
I can imagine." Yeah. Get out of the way, seals.
I don't know where it comes out of, but it seems like it came out of one of the smokestacks. Like it was that loud.
Wow. Yeah,
like a big didgeridoo kind of sound. But Alex Rossi gave me a ride in the new sick. McLaren Artura, which is, I think, their entry level one.
It's like a hybrid.
It's a hybrid V6 twin turbo.
It looks really good.
We went over one of the like the port bridges at 130 miles per hour.
Sick.
And I swear, like he took the on ramp at 90, and his margins were like he was like this far away from the curb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I was like, oh, this dude knows
felt
what he's
so
doing.
Safe.
This guy knows how to drive.
Yeah. He was just casually having a conversation with me as he's doing it too, and I'm like trying to hold the phone, and but he's super nice. And then on Sunday, we went to the race. Me and Christina got to do the two-seater experience, which you had done before.
I did that a few years ago.
Mario Andretti. I did it too. I did it with Mario Andretti. That's when I saw him in his underpants.
Yeah.
Comes full circle.
We saw him, or actually Audrey saw him on the pit wall this time.
Was he wearing his
I'm assuming he was wearing underpants, but we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
There's
probably
sure.
purple briefs or something bright like that.
Yeah. But anyways, the two-seater experience was insane.
It's insane, right?
Yeah. It was like you could tell he wasn't going full speed. Mm-hmm. And the two-seaters are actually tuned down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They said they're like 70% as fast.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like just the G-forces are crazy. And then I didn't realize this, but like taller people, they really have to strap the helmet down
mm-hmm.
because when you're going full speed, the air just wants to pull your helmet up and off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like choking because it
was
like.
That's why they have those little chin spoilers on helmets.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was like, I didn't even realize that was a thing.
They should have told you that.
Is the two-seater still the one where you're like this in the back of the car?
Yeah. I was basically in like birthing position.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me how much stuff you can feel going on under you.
Yeah.
Like when you like shift, you can feel like the transmission.
Yep.
It's crazy.
I didn't realize that also it like the transmission is way harsher
mm-hmm.
than it lets on. Mm-hmm. Like you can actually, like you were saying, feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like straight cut gears or no?
I'm sure.
It feels like way more
clunky than
clunky. Yeah. Clunky is a good word. Yeah, I think I have a CVT or something, so for sure more clunky. But anyways, it was a great experience. Big thanks to the McLaren or the Arrow McLaren team. They were all super nice. That was another thing I realized, like F1, you see behind the scenes at F1 mm-hmm. and it seems so prestigious
mm-hmm.
and like unapproachable.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone behind the scenes was like so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like a European versus American thing.
The mechanics were like, "Yeah, tighten that bolt for us, man.
Yeah.
Loosen it. Yeah, I don't care.
You broke it. That's cool." But yeah, they
you
were.
Want to try tuning it? Just fucking.
Everyone from the team was amazing, and like Zach Brown was just walking around.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Cool. You guys met Zach Brown.
Yeah, he was like making time for everyone too, which.
That's awesome.
Just talk to like anyone who would want to talk to him.
That's He's a businessman, cool. dude. That's how you get to the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to make time for people. You got to shake some hands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, huge thanks to Arrow McLaren.
And you guys were on the pit box, right? For the race or?
I didn't go over there because I was hanging out with Emily, but five of us did.
That's cool.
And they got to see, it was supposed to be like a pit stop experience, but I think they came too late or something. Mm. But
I see.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's really
and
awesome.
And then we stayed around for a stadium super trucks. It lasted
That's
three
the
laps.
Coolest shit. What?
And then someone flew off into the fence and the fence broke.
Oh. So.
And then they spent like 45 minutes fixing it. And they were like, well, we got to call it after three laps.
They called the race?
Yeah.
I bet everyone was so mad at that guy.
Yeah. Everyone booed.
Like, way to go, dummy.
But I was really looking forward to stadium super trucks too.
Yeah. Stadium super trucks.
I think Long Beach as a venue is just so cool to be there. Whether you're at IndyCar or even just going to like FD, which was a couple weeks ago, just so cool.
It's like right on the beach.
Yeah. You see like, those high rise apartments. Yeah. Like you're in the city.
And I was watching an interview with the coordinator who's been there since like day one. And this is like their 60th anniversary or something like that. 50th. But it was like a huge Navy town, and all those like high rises are fairly new. So I feel like it's pretty safe. It's not gonna, like, the residents aren't gonna complain and like lobby to get it shut down.
No, I mean, it's definitely a crown jewel of the IndyCar series.
Yeah.
It probably brings so much tourist money.
For sure.
And just prestige to the city overall. That
And you can just see how many people are out on their balconies watching it.
Yeah. Like, I was downtown, went to FD last weekend or a couple weeks ago, and I was like, dude, like, downtown Long Beach is so sick, especially with the track setup.
Yeah.
And it's such such a European vibe.
Yes. It felt like Monaco.
But then everybody who lives there has like a flat brimmed hat and socks up to their thighs. It's such a weird dichotomy.
Yeah, we saw a couple of people that were like GTA Long Beach characters.
Yeah. Speaking of cars with no roofs, it's time for the news. 2 weeks ago, Fernando Alonso announced he had extended his contract with Aston Martin through 2026. Alonso is currently the oldest driver in F1 at 42 and will be 45 when the contract expires. He says this is probably his last one. Alonso has said he still feels at his physical best and that he's hungry for another world championship, but also that this will likely be his last contract. And the thing about Alonso is,
what is it?
When he says he's hungry for another world championship, like, a lot of guys, like, if Daniel Ricciardo's like, oh, I'm just really hungry for a world championship, I'm like, okay.
You're like, yeah, everybody would
be. Everybody would be, man.
That's why you get into it.
But, like, I don't think it's an impossibility for, like, Alonso to, like, pull something out.
Yeah.
Put him in the right car. That guy rules.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I don't think the age is that big of a deal. Age, like, just Vettel, a number, is talking about coming back too.
Age is just a number.
Age is just a number, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
40, like, a 42 nowadays is like 27.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah. 42. Yeah. If you look at pictures of people in their 40s now versus people in their 20s.
Have you
90s?
Seen the picture of Cheers season one?
Yeah. It's
and
insane.
All their ages?
They're all younger than me.
And the mailman, Clint, or whatever his name
he's
is.
He's like 24 years old.
He's 34, but he looks 62.
It's
crazy.
Style thing, dude.
Yeah.
Formula One was back in Shanghai for the first time since 2019 for the Chinese Grand Prix, which had been left off of the calendar for 4 years due to COVID-related restrictions in the country. The weekend got off to an unexpected start. At the track walk, teams noticed the track surface looked to have been painted, which was revealed to be a layer of a binding agent called bitumen that the teams hadn't been informed was there.
So they had the officials at the GP had reassured everyone that, like, the track was resurfaced. But this is just like paint with a little bit of, like, compound on it. And so all the drivers,
like, a chip seal almost.
Yeah. Rhino.
Rhino liner on the track.
Bed liner. Don't worry. We rhino linered the whole course.
Yeah, resurfaced. The surface is reed.
Yeah. You said surface.
Yeah. Then during a rainy qualifying session for the first sprint race of the season, Norris took pole with Hamilton and Alonso taking P2 and P3. Verstappen was in a surprise P4, which is. Do you think he just did that on purpose?
He's getting bored and he's just like,
well, let's see if I can
see. He like understeered off the track on the final lap. He was going to take pole, but then it was wet. I don't think he meant to do that. I don't think he does that kind of stuff. He's I'm here to be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does it.
I'm just going to solidify these numbers.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was thinking maybe everyone's just kind of being a bummer by being like, oh, it's so boring. And we should like shift our perspective and be like, whoa, how fortunate we are as sports fans to be witness to one of the greatest dominations in any sports history.
That is kind of true, but also we lived through like the Patriots, their run, and that was annoying too.
Yeah.
And we lived through the Golden State era.
Yeah.
It's always annoying.
Yeah, but like Max Verstappen isn't like friends with Trump.
We don't know
as
that.
As far as we know.
Yeah, as far as we know. Like, the Patriots are annoying.
Jos Verstappen,
but also, like,
definitely
the,
is.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Patriots are, like Belichick is a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, a huge piece of shit. But, like, Max Verstappen's nice. And Tom Brady was, like, barely drafted and became the winningest quarterback in history. True. So, like, I think that's another example of people being like, oh, this freaking sucks. When in reality, that is the dream of, like, everything. Yeah. Like, yeah, that is the best story possible. And we're such bummers that we're just like, oh, I'm bored with this dream now.
I think we'll check in on whether you still feel that way at the end of the season.
I mean, I don't, like, really care. I don't actually care. I just,
in the moment, it is pretty boring to watch.
It is boring.
They don't even show him on the feed.
I know, yeah. It is kind of boring.
Yeah, you get Lance Stroll and Kevin Magnussen battling for 19th place for like a lap. And you're like, this is my high mark now is this.
I would say, I think like everyone universally is like, oh my God, it's so boring. This guy keeps winning.
Yeah.
When I think every once in a while we should have the zoom out view or whatever to be like, whoa, this is pretty incredible.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the problem is that this was preceded by 8 years of Lewis,
another guy
of Lewis doing the same thing. So it's like we got one 6 seasons.
And then before that, Michael Schumacher. Yeah. So like it's, three once in a generation talents within 25 years.
Vettel before Hamilton. Yeah. I mean, that's just how it is though. But I mean, we've been doing pass gas for so long now. That's
point,
how
we're
it
talking
is
about
every era. It's like there's always one team that's just kicking everyone else's ass.
Yeah.
You get one special season every
That's
seven
why IndyCar is fun, because it's spec series.
That's true, and they're all the same cars.
Yeah. And like still you can see breakout talents.
That's true.
Using the same machinery that everyone else is using.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Unfortunately for McLaren, Norris went off at turn one while battling Hamilton, and Verstappen eventually pulled out the win.
He did. Norris was in pole and lost six positions in the first turn.
Damn.
Lando got second, Sainz got fifth.
Yeah.
And so my guys did well.
Alex wore a panda hat.
Oh, this was a big race for Zhou
Guan Yu. I mean, he finished 14th, but he was the first Chinese driver to finish in China.
He cried.
In like 20 years or something
like that. Yeah, it was a big moment for him.
Pretty cool. what else happened? Oh, well, I mean, the big story, most exciting thing to happen was the Lance Stroll Danny Ric incident.
Oh yeah, what a wiener that guy is.
Dude, I think there's always like every week, I wouldn't say every week, but like every other week Lance Stroll does something lame. People come to his back and then he like doubles down on being lame.
Yeah, he's not he doesn't have very good sportsmanship.
He's not a gracious
You can
loser.
Tell he's the kind of guy whose dad owns an F1 team and then lets him be on the team.
It's getting to the point now where we see what Fernando is capable of doing with that car. And it's like, if you had a younger, like hungry driver in that same car, someone like your Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri in that same car, I feel like their results would be so much better. And it's like, there's a difference between having a hungry driver and like a desperate driver, right?
Yeah.
Desperate drivers make mistakes. Hungry drivers.
I'm getting a lot of desperation off of Stroll.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's desperate. He's just like clumsy.
Yeah.
Clumsy. Yeah.
He's like a clumsy ox. Like he's like the bad guy in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Mm. Like just a rich guy, rich kid.
I want that bike.
Yeah. He's like a rich bully.
Yeah.
And he sucks. And he's a jerk. And like Daniel Ricciardo is having like a pretty good weekend. And I'll say a lot of stuff about Daniel Ricciardo. His personality higher. He's good for the sport, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Very good for the sport.
I think he's great for the sport.
But like he was having a good weekend and he like desperately needs to score some points. Mm-hmm. And it looked like this might have been the weekend that he could have done it.
Yeah.
And then this like dweeb little wiener like smashes into the back of him. And then when given the opportunity to like be like sportsman,
that's the thing.
And be like, yeah, like I screwed up or whatever. Like take accountability for it.
He never
dad owns the team and he's like, well, I think it was basically like it's basically everyone braked and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I just like smashed into the back of him on a safety car.
And then Daniel Ricciardo was like, it was a pretty standard lockup and everyone reacted well except for you.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it? Ollie said, he's like, well, yeah, we all braked pretty hard, but none of us ran into each other.
Yeah.
So, dude, there's not a lot of celebrities that I'd love to punch, but Stroll's up there.
The guy from Pee Wee.
The guy from Pee Wee. He's probably pretty cool.
Biff.
Biff
Tannen, the character, not the actor. Actor's great.
Yeah,
Yeah, I wonder what like plays do guitar people like. I bet, dude, and like Alonzo and Lance together is just like so perfect. Like, just not like perfect, like friend perfect, but like movie perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this very seasoned, great guy who's kind of a wild apple. But then, but then
a
just
little tart, a little
shitty
mealy.
Little nerd.
You just gotta wonder like what the goal is for Lawrence Stroll.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like, okay, you got to know that your boy is not the best driver out there and that you're not going to get a championship.
I think it makes sense as a business decision for his son if his son is ever going to have a career after this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's setting his son up for success after F1.
Yeah, I think it's like, I love my son
more
than anything in the world, which you should. So it's kind of cool.
Lawrence Stroll loves his son.
I just wish his son wasn't like, if he was like the nicest guy, it'd be great. But he's just not. Such a twerp.
Yeah.
After the race, Ricardo said in an interview, "I'm doing my best not to say what I want to say, but f- that guy, and I'm still being nice. That's sick." Said like a true quote. Personality. All right. Ricardo rules sometimes. With this win, Verstappen is now won half of all the races held since the last Chinese GP.
Wow. So, that's crazy, which was in 2019.
Yeah, so he's won half of the races in the last five years.
That's a cool stat.
Yeah. Dude, this guy's got major stats.
This guy's pretty good.
Yeah. Dude, in 2073, when they're doing the Blark cast on Max Verstappen, it's going to be...
pretty good episode.
Pretty good app.
Yeah.
So
and they're going to be like, why are we talking about stuff that happened 80 years ago?
We talk about stuff that happened 80 years ago.
I know. But we're always like, why are we talking about the origin of bicycles?
I knew you were going to go there.
The 40s was 80 years ago. Speaking of rich dicks, Tesla has been all over the news again.
Mm-hmm.
And I met the president again. The past few weeks for a number of reasons.
Talking about companies that need to embrace a Gump mindset.
Yeah, dude. They need a Gump
mindset.
The opposite. I'm glad that you get these refs now.
Yeah.
It's really just opened up a whole new wing of our friendship mansion.
Of our mansion? Oh.
On April 5th, Reuters reported that the insider sources at Tesla confirmed the long-promised affordable Model 2 project had been scrapped. Musk accused Reuters of lying on his social media platform X. What a world, dude. What a fucking weird place we live in.
Reuters checks their shit.
Dude, they literally they check their shit.
Yeah.
That's like their whole thing.
Reuters, we Reuters, check our shit. We
check our shit. Anyone else's. Reuters is Tesla has yet to issue an official response. I think that is an official response.
And I mean, they don't have like a press wing.
No.
I think Musk accusing Reuters of lying
is their official response. And additional Tesla insiders in quotes have verified the report. Then last week it was reported Tesla was cutting more than 10% of its global workforce and that several high-ranking individuals had resigned.
I forget who it was, but there was someone who had been with the company since like, I want to say 15 years or something, since like the beginning almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, this is bad news.
Happens.
He's losing his core audience. Or his core consumer base.
Who is what? Like,
I think it was like,
like
middle jerks. To wealthy, rich liberals.
Lance Strolls.
I wouldn't.
Strolls. Just like, West Siders, Mace.
Yeah, West Siders.
I think it is. Yeah. I think he's been like more Andrew Tating himself.
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
For like years now.
Yeah.
For a couple of years. I think he really leaned into that in like 2020. Two or so. Mm-hmm.
I think Tating is the opposite of Gump mindset.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gump would f Andrew Tate up.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
I don't respect you.
Yeah. And then he'd just like throw a wild haymaker.
Oh, you think he would punch him?
Well, what do you think?
Oh, Gump has freaking socks.
So, all right, here's the scene.
Dude, remember when Gump was beating up that guy who was feeling on Jenny. Oh, yeah. And then when Gump beat up Jenny's boyfriend. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, dude, here's Gump, a scene in Forrest Gump 2. Like, he walks into a bar.
Heavy fits.
He sees Jenny's car outside a bar. He walks in, and Andrew Tate has like is like roughing Jenny up.
He's like, and he's I'll like, oh, play dog, that incel shit, and then hits him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get back to Romania. And they punched him.
I don't like you and your brother.
Yeah.
Gump mindset.
Gump mindset, dude.
Be a Gump, not a Tate.
That's right. Put that on a t-shirt.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. Like, well, it's a weird dichotomy of like who owns Teslas and like what Tesla is coming to represent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, yeah, like a lot of people Tesla Model 3s, and maybe they bought him when he wasn't like a weird.
I think that's what it was. Like when he still had a PR person that would tweet for him, rich liberals bought all these Teslas and then he took over the PR and was like, I'm going to get the other half of America to buy Teslas. Yeah, and then that didn't work.
And now it's like not cool to own a Tesla.
No. And people are like it came in 29th out of 30th in consumer satisfaction last year. People are noticing like that it's not actually a great car after a couple of years. Like it's just taken this long for people to realize maybe it's not built that well.
The Cybertruck, I think, was really like
this. It is by far the least cool car you could possibly own. And I've never had an opinion this strong about any car. Like, taste is subjective. Like, oh, like this is kind of not my vibe. This is a Cybertruck is 100% the least cool vehicle on the planet. It's so expensive. It represents that you're a certain kind of person.
I think that's the like, problem. Unaware. Is that, like, you know exactly what kind of person bought that thing, especially like in the first few months of release or in like after the couple years now of Elon Musk being the way he is. It's like if you were first in line to buy one of these things
and then followed through and like still own it
that's like not someone
cash in your Ethereum
because
bought a meme car and then you're pissed that teenagers think it's dumb looking.
It is like a status symbol car more than most cars ever, and the status that it stands for is pretty terrible. Or you're just like very unaware, and being unaware is not
crazy to see people's
awful.
People's change or shift in opinion on Tesla in the last couple months, especially with the Cybertruck coming out. I feel like right now the tide is changing so fast.
Yeah, I
love
it.
And just from my own experience, if you get 30% less range than it actually projects, that's like a huge deal breaker
for
me.
You were driving it. You and Justin took on a little road trip.
And it would project 317 miles on a 100% charge and then give us like 205 miles.
Oh, that's not even like claims. That's like projections.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll ruin your day.
I was like, after that, if I had bought a Tesla Cybertruck, I'd return it.
Oh, man. Someone brought like a stock Cybertruck here a couple weeks, like a month ago, and I got in it and was like, if I had bought this, I'd be pissed. Dude.
So pissed.
The rearview mirror that's like a Playmobil.
Yeah,
toy,
it's crazy.
Basically.
Like the interior is just, it's a $120,000 truck, and you get in and you're like, this is unacceptable. I don't know.
Sharp. It's sharp. It's literally sharp.
Yeah.
A lot of the employees were laid off via email in the middle of the night. So. And then finally, a few days after layoffs, the company was forced to recall nearly 4,000 Cybertrucks due to an accelerator pad that had come loose and lodged the pedal into the carpet, causing the truck to get stuck in full throttle acceleration.
That's scary.
So it was like there's a pedal cover.
Yeah, and it's like glued on or something.
And then it like slides up and gets lodged and keeps it. So the brakes do override the accelerator.
Yeah.
So you can like... If you keep your cool and you brake, it will break. But then it doesn't like cancel it out at all. So like if you lift your brake, it's full throttle.
That's crazy. Again. Wow.
Yep.
That's like, I mean, Toyota got in trouble for that in the early 2000s.
Yeah. But here's the thing. These are issues that you figure out when you do thousands and thousands of miles of testing. And this is like the thing that really Elon Musk is the most egregious example of this and probably like the source of a lot of this, but I'm so annoyed with disruptors and disrupt. Like I'm all about disrupting and like the status quo. And like, I hate old men as much as the next guy, but like just having a blatant disrespect for the way, like even looking into something and be like, hey, maybe things are done this way because this is how they should be done. And then we like build on that versus being like, you know what? I don't even think we need to test cars.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but we probably should. It's like, nah.
Backpacks don't need straps.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, there's a reason that like cars get driven in Death Valley and then cars get driven in like Iceland and then like cars get driven like all over.
And then they get put on the rack for like 2 million miles just doing that.
Yeah. Test the stuff. Make sure it works before you ship it to people
And charge people $100,000 for it.
And yeah, that stuff takes a long time, but don't say that it'll be done way fast and then make a shitty thing and put it like things take time to make and maybe don't tell people about it for a long time while you're working on it. The thing is, he's like, oh, I better tell everybody. He's so like sick for approval.
He needs approval.
That he's like, hey, I just started thinking about this thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, when will the thing be available? Next year.
Yeah.
And it's like such like a software something mindset.
Well, also it's like something you like, or that I had to train myself to stop doing in like my mid 20s. Where it's like, don't tell people you're going to do something unless you're actually like working towards it. Or have actually done it.
The amount of times I've told people I want to lose 15 pounds and I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never lost 15 pounds.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. The guy is a weirdo. Mm-hmm. And
I bet Lance Stroll likes him.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
I bet he likes him.
He's been on camera at many U.S. Grand Prix. Like Elon Musk is like in the pits. Who was he with last year? He's with not Mercedes, but he was in someone's pit last year.
In my pit.
Yeah, my pit.
Not in the Joe pit.
Yeah, Joe pit. It's been a tough year for Tesla investors, and things aren't looking great for EVs in general.
There's the one dude who's suing. He's in Pennsylvania. He has one share of Tesla stock.
Yeah,
and he was the one that sued Elon about the $55 billion payout from 2018, which stopped it. So that investor is awesome.
That guy rules.
Yeah. Mm.
Shouts to that guy.
Well, I mean, that's another whole other side of the Tesla story is like you have a bunch of people, investors who are not even, I mean, they probably drive Teslas, but like their sole emotional investment in the company is entirely linked to like their actual investment.
Yeah.
And not like, an appreciation
for a long time it was like great and it just kept going up and up and up and now it's like the
last I looked is like $147, which is
I don't know what that means, but sounds
well
good.
it's just been taking a dive last week,
so not
taking a dive.
It's been taking a dive.
The EVs in general are currently going through a sales slump, and many manufacturers have been offering EVs at a discount. Others have delayed EV rollouts entirely in favor of focusing on hybrids. Lots of the companies like that said, hey, we're going completely EV by so-and-so year have backtracked and been like, actually, we're not.
Yeah, and now, what's his name? Toyota?
What's his name? Toyota?
Akio Toyota. His statements a couple years ago about going full electric, which seemed extreme at the time, are now like more commonplace.
Well, what happened is the manufacturers discovered that there's a lot less people that can afford an EV than they thought. Because like in 2022 to last year, like those 2 years, like EVs were going crazy.
Yeah.
If someone was buying a new car, it's probably an EV. That's why you see so many of the Mustang,
Mach-Es.
Thank you, Joe. Teslas, Ionics, like all that. But the Rivians too. Like, but they're so expensive compared to normal cars.
They're so expensive.
I think the people who bought EVs and now they have them.
Once you have them, like we live in Los Angeles and having an EV is kind of a pain in the ass. And I think that like
unless you have a charger at home.
There's 5,000 chargers in the LA area.
I've driven an EV around LA, it was kind of a pain in the ass.
Okay. I think you gotta have that home charger.
Yeah, you have to have a home charger and a lot of people like rent. Yeah. Like if you live in an apartment building,
that's true.
You can't just install a charger.
So it makes it like even a higher echelon of buyers.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that like it's a good example of businesses not being cool. No matter how cool a business is, they aren't cool.
Yeah.
And like them being like, oh, they like it. Let's make a million of them. Let's do all of them. And then like the consumer was like, oh no, we're actually good. We got it.
And well, how about for a discount? You want to take some off my hands?
Yeah. Last week marked Ford Mustang's 60th anniversary. While rivals like the Chevy Camaro and Dodge Challenger have come and gone multiple times, the legendary pony car has been in constant production over the last six decades, which is something that makes me feel kind of good.
It's cool.
You know, something you can hang rely on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The Mustang remains a global muscle car icon, regardless of whether you think it's a muscle car or not, and is currently in its seventh generation.
It's a pony car.
It's a pony car, yeah.
Pony.
Pony car. It's the reason we call it a pony car. Like I said, I think the fact that I just know that there's always going to be a Mustang just makes me feel some sort of regularity in this insane world.
Yeah. You gotta be regular, James.
Got to.
You gotta eat your fiber.
Dare to be regular.
Metamucil.
Dare to be regular.
We're going for a younger buyer. Yeah, obviously, I love the Mustang. Drive one myself, 2006.
Yeah, it's having GT, troubles right now.
It is having trouble, buddy. The drag race video did a little number on the car,
but
I think.
You didn't even race.
I didn't even race. Well, it was leaking oil out the back. Was,
yeah, but.
Because you did a big old milky burnout.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did.
I've got wit. It was smoky, right, Christina? Yeah.
But was it smoky from tires or oil?
That is yet to be determined. So I took it to the shop last week.
And they go, they call you and they're like, oh buddy. Boy.
Well, oh, buddy. Yeah, then I did get a call on Friday and they're like, all right, it's $400 in parts. It's $1,300 in labor.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's like, I mean, that's a lot. But I don't want to spend that money.
Is it a head gasket?
You have to.
So not a head gasket. It's like coolant return line that goes underneath the intake. So that's why the labor is so much, because you got to take the intake off and all that stuff, and go to the back of the engine. There's like a coolant inlet that they got to change out to that broke. So, love those Mustangs.
It's an old car.
It's a, yeah, it's almost 20 years old.
We're talking about a 20-year-old piece of plastic,
2006,
that lives in a hot thing.
Yeah, so 18 years old. Yeah, 18 years old at this point, it can vote. but yeah, love the Mustang. We might have some Mustang content later this year on the channel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
Throwing the tickler out there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I mean, it's an icon. It really is.
For sure. To mark the anniversary, Ford announced a new surprise, a new anniversary Mustang, a special edition Mustang, which we
one of 20,000.
Yeah. The 60th anniversary trim and Shelby Super Snake.
Those were announced last week.
All right. So the 60th anniversary, primarily an appearance package. Yep. Available only on GT premium coupes and convertibles.
So you get leather seats.
Okay. Color choices are red, white, or blue.
Hey.
Okay. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's colors of America.
Viva la France. Oh, sorry.
Whoa.
Oh, you mean Netherlands?
it'll be available for purchase this summer. Price has yet to be disclosed. 1965 will be made.
Okay, so more rare than I projected.
Well, that's the year it
one
came
of
out.
Them will like sell at Mecum or Barrett Jackson. The first one will sell for like $350,000 or something, and then the rest of them will be hermetically sealed.
They should have made 1900. 64 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been funny.
And just like cut one of them down the center. That would have been pretty sick.
Yeah, that would have been sick.
That'd be cool. And like you can get that half car if you buy the first one.
They should have made like a Ford Falcon Sprint.
Or they made a trailer.
A trailer. That's an idea.
Yeah.
Oh, a trailer.
Oh, a trailer.
Dude, I love movie trailers.
Yeah. All right. The Super Snake, only 250 are going to be made.
This thing looks interesting.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on.
Mixed opinions on the internet. It'll have both 480 and 830 horsepower.
Lord.
The latter will have a 3-liter Whipple supercharger.
Whipple.
The Mustang is known for having a wide variety of trims. So what do you think about the Super Snake?
Okay. Design-wise, visually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot going on.
It's got that big old wing on it.
It's got a big wing, but it also has like a 6 spoiler on the trunk.
Tail.
The ducktail. It's like, just take the wing off. Yeah. And have the spoiler, or the ducktail.
It's got a ducktail and then a big GT wing.
Maybe
it's got a lot of writing on the back.
Yeah, there's a lot of writing. I don't know. It's like, it's just like the S650 already looks pretty pointy and like edgy. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like
pretty cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk and like just a loud design. So they're just putting more on top of that to like, mm-hmm. Gotta make sure people know it's the Shelby Superstate. It's a bit of a hat on the hat for me.
Yeah, hat on a hat for me.
I don't know. I would love to drive one though. I drove the GT500, like the latest one, a couple years ago.
The Hertz edition?
Not the Hertz edition, just the GT500.
Okay.
Yeah. And
would have been cooler if it was the Hertz.
So freaking fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're super serious. Cool car. So I mean, I'm sure this will be amazing as well. The wheels look cool, I'll say. I like that.
The official opinion of the big three. A little bit of a hat on a hat.
A little bit of a hat on a hat.
But we'd love to drive one.
Yeah. Maybe that'll change my mind.
Yeah, maybe that'll change Nolan's mind.
If you want a hat for your hat, check out the Donut Media store. We have a bunch of hats.
We do have a bunch of hats. We got more on the way, I think.
But buy it at Zoomies.
What are you guys' favorite Mustangs throughout the years?
Oh, well, there's a million to choose from. Should we make this a multiple choice question?
Let's go off the top of our heads.
Yeah, go off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, here's some. All right, 67 GT500, yeah, 69 Boss 429.
429, baby.
85 SVO, the original turbo four-cylinder Mustang.
That's one of our favorites.
That's one.
Audrey.
No. She gave us choices. We're supposed to choose. Oh, okay.
That's a specific kind of car journalist favorite.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Mustang?
Yeah.
1985 SVO.
Oh, that's like my favorite Dodge Charger from 1983 that makes 110 horsepower. Yeah. It's just like a weird one.
Yeah.
I think my favorite Mustang is the 2007 GT500, the S197. Okay. Yeah. The one that Will Smith drives in the I Am Legend.
Oh,
red
and
white.
Red and white. With a Marconi sticker on it.
Yeah, those are my favorite, I think. That's my favorite Mustang.
Like the Edge Mustang SVD Cobra R.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one I would want to drive every day.
Yeah.
Every day?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think they have like AC or radio or...
They don't have AC?
No. That's a homologation car. Like, truly.
They don't have AC in race cars?
It's going to be hot.
You got to get one of those helmets that pumps the air into your helmet. Oh, yeah. That's all you need.
Got to.
Yeah.
You
got
to have that.
I think I like the Mr. Chrome Cobra.
Mr. Chrome Terminator.
In the early 2000s.
Mr. Chrome Terminator.
Or the new GTD. I think it looks super sick.
GTD's
pretty
cool.
It's a... like 800 something horsepower.
My favorite Mustang is an SN95 yellow V6 convertible automatic.
Oh, the German tourist special.
Yeah. But maybe the coolest Mustang of all time has yet to hit the road. Joe, last week applications for the GTD went on sale at $325,000.
That's crazy.
You know, these are just going to get flipped right away. Like, I'd bring a trailer.
Yeah. Not, though. There might be some contracts you got to sign.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like if you're buying a car like this, you like cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And doesn't Ford do that? Or was it GM where they like...
Well, Ford sued John Cena for flipping his GT.
Oh.
So I feel like they'd probably, and I think Bronco Raptor owners had to sign a thing, if I'm not mistaken. But also, like, I feel like the flipping market is like kind of cooling off right now. So
they're like, you.
Yeah.
I think as in general, people are just kind of like, you know what? We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
As far as like getting taken advantage of. Yeah. Application revolution, baby. the application includes an extensive questionnaire. That's French. It's a French word. And requires each applicant to submit a 60-second video explaining why they would be a good GTD owner.
Should we do that right now?
Make a sick one?
Yeah. This is our application video. Okay.
60 seconds is a lot of time to fill.
That is a lot
of time. Maybe this is like for all of us.
All right. For all of us. Okay,
who
sure.
Who wants it? I don't want it. You guys can have I would.
You should do it.
I'll do it.
As a Mustang guy.
All right. Let's get a clock on screen.
We can help. We can help him.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, my name's Nolan. I drive a Mustang, and it's kind of broken right now, and I would like a new one. I also go to the track sometimes with that car for my job. Technically, it's a work expense to have this thing, and that would be very helpful. I like driving car fast. I like when car loud. I do not have covered parking, so take that into consideration. I like Mustang thank you for your time.
Damn, dude, was awful.
Yeah.
There you go.
That you didn't even use proper grammar most of the time.
Yeah, I didn't even try.
Yeah.
That was so bad. No movement. You really clammed up.
Yeah.
Decided on putting the feet up.
I did do that. Yeah. That is so funny. I would love to watch the archives of all the people making these videos. Like, what setups did they use? Did they use tripods? Probably not. Did they do the Facebook special where they're already in a car with sunglasses on, talking
with
to
Oakley's,
camera?
White Oakley's on.
Oakley's on. I bet most of them live in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Well, I mean, like a lot of these, I'm sure a lot of the submissions forget that you have to pay for it.
Maybe.
Too.
Yeah.
Like you have to pay for the car. It's not like this isn't a video to win one.
No.
Yeah.
Which you, it sounded like you kind of forgot.
I did forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford that.
No. No, you couldn't.
Yeah. It's not like the Dodge campaign where they wanted the burnout ambassador and they ended up hiring Goldberg, right?
Yeah. Which is a cop out.
Yeah. It should have been me.
Wait, the wrestler?
Yeah. The wrestler.
I haven't thought about that guy in forever.
Yeah. Well, now he's part of the Brotherhood.
All right. And that's
so we mentioned the Brotherhood. Yep. And that means that we can complete the show. Thank you guys so much. We hope to see you at our live show May 25th at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. Tickets are on sale now. Shake some hands, give some daps, get some shirts. But really, it's going to be a super fun show. We'll see you there. See you downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Guys, downtown, where Joe will be podcasting. Downtown, Nolan will be podcasting. Downtown, James will be podcasting too.
Thank you.